Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm not wearing a hat. And welcome to another edition of PHNX D-Backs Podcast, right on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I'm occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. And once again, your mayor of Chase Field. This man next to me, my vice mayor of Chase Field and of food. He is the Archbishop of Smashburgers, and he is your Thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman.
I think I like Archbishop of Smashburgers better than Thunderstick.
I know. I knew you would. Cogs is early. Yes, Jesse Jr. is here. I almost had to cut his tongue out yesterday because the baseball gods needed a sacrifice in order to rectify everything. But without me needing to permanently injure one of our best friends, the world corrected itself a little bit, Jesse. Not only did we have what happened with Shohei Ohtani and the scandal, which I'm not saying is a good thing, but it is something that can help level the playing field, at least some sort of distraction for that very, very good organization that can kind of slow them down. But now we have the biggest addition, I guess, besides Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto getting absolutely historically rocked in his debut against the Padres in Seoul, Korea. Now, I really wish both of these teams could just somehow lose both of these games. The math doesn't work out there, but I just wish they could somehow both lose. But splitting the series is probably the best, right?
We root for every other NL West team over the Dodgers.
I mean, you're right about that. Like, we want the Dodgers to have every speed bump, every hurdle, every bad thing. We want all the bad things in the world to happen to you and nobody but you. And so far, that is not everything bad. Mookie won a fucking car. Mookie Betts won a car. So it's not all bad for the Dodgers. Even when they lose, they still somehow win. But the Padres did take game two of the Seoul series, splitting the series with the Dodgers. Now both of those teams have to come back to the United States and somehow play some spring training games and then get ready for the regular season again. But what a game. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto was awful. And you love to see it. You hate to see it, but you also love to see it. This is the first player since 1901, Jesse, to give up five or more earned runs in his debut in the first inning. And boy, was it as bad as you could have possibly hoped for and dreamt for.
I mean, at least he gave the Dodgers some length, though. You know, he got roughed up a little bit, but he made it through. He made it through six innings strong. No, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, I'm told. I didn't see this live, but I'm told based on what the box score said sources when I woke up, sources say that Yamamoto finished the first inning and not return.
This guy's been up since 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke my wife up squealing in delight like a small child. I had the pure, unadulterated joy of a small child watching this happen live, Jesse. I was kicking my feet, doing a little dance. It was so good. But then the Dodgers still came back and they still made it a game. And the game ended up being, what, 15-11? Some absurd score like that. I'm supposed to fear either of these teams? Well, I guess offensively, that might be something to fear. But pitching-wise, These are two chump teams, I guess, is what I'm saying here. But
we all know that Yoshinobu Yamamoto has good stuff, right? I mean, the numbers tell us that, like, the movement on his pitches, the spin rate, the stuff plus, all of those things point to Yamamoto having good stuff. But what we've seen so far is it just hasn't really translated into games.
Oh,
right?
No.
In spring training, Yamamoto made 3 starts, and in 9 2/3 innings, he gave up 15 hits and 9 earned runs, right? An 8.38 ERA in those 3 appearances. And granted, it was spring training. Nobody really took much note of it. I think the Dodgers played some pretty bad defense behind him. There were some base hits that weren't hit very hard that got through anyway. But yesterday was a bit of a different story. These were not seeing eye singles. These were, I think, the average exit velo against Yamamoto was over 100 miles an hour. So he was getting knocked around. You know, he still had a couple of strikeouts, got a few whiffs. We still saw how good his stuff can be in moments, but it wasn't great. He threw 43 pitches to get through one inning and was not able to return for the second. And, you know, I think the status quo with the Dodgers for a number of years now has been any player they sign, any player they acquire, just immediately turns to gold for them. It always feels like it plays out in the best way imaginable. And boy, is that not the way it played out for Yamamoto yesterday.
This morning. Later today in the future in Korea. But let's see. But Maria, our favorite Dodger fan, is here. And I want to apologize to you, Maria, because this is probably not the best show for you to show up for.
I'm amazed that Maria is here.
We love you. We're not attacking you personally, but we are attacking your
team. We do love you, Maria, but we do. It'd probably be best if you turn this one off.
This one's probably one to pass on. But the main reason for that is, you know, of course, the Dodgers did something that even we questioned when it happened. They're not the only team to do that. There was a lot of money thrown around and given to international players. And for the most part, you know, those players recently in Major League Baseball have very much worked out for the teams that acquired them. So it's understandable why this year those teams took that leap of faith in extending these big contracts out to players that have never played one single game in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah.
Now, the competitive level of other leagues we've talked about is right there. KBO, Japan, other countries. It's not like these countries are, you know, like some of the teams in the World Baseball Classic that literally put up plumbers and teachers to go out there and play baseball, right? these are good leagues with great players that, you know, when you see a guy going out there and putting up over the course of a season a sub-2 ERA, you're not going to sit there and think, well, how is that going to translate, you know, to Major League Baseball? It's going to translate well. The guy can fucking shove, and he's going to be able to get people out at a major league level. You just never know how they're going to translate. Same thing with young players, right? That come up and have a tremendous amount of success, either at a high school level or a collegiate level, or in some sort of club ball, or impress people at one of those perfect game kind of situations or something like that. You never know how those skills are going to translate up to a major league level. You never know how these guys are going to be able to handle that pressure. The Dodgers gave him $325 million over 12 years. That is an incredible commitment to a guy that you have no idea how it's going to work out. The Dodgers are a team that can rebound from this. This would destroy another franchise to make this kind of commitment to a player and quote unquote not have it work out, right? Now, he could still be a viable, you know, pitcher for this team, but so far it seems like, you know, we don't know if he's going to be that elite level pitcher that deserves $325 for 12 years.
My gut feeling is that Yamamoto is going to be fine. We're gonna look up at the end of the year, and Yamamoto's gonna have had a pretty darn good season.
I've never wanted you to be more wrong.
Maybe it's not that he is a, you know, top 5 Cy Young vote getter, which I think some people like genuinely expected him to be. You know, some people have already called him a top 10 pitcher in baseball, which again, I get it. Based on what I've seen from his stuff and the fact that he's throwing 96 miles an hour, you know, with the secondary pitches that he has, I get it. And yeah, like I said, I still am fairly bullish on Yamamoto moving forward. But you're right, there's always risk with these kind of deals. When you haven't seen a guy throw a pitch in the major leagues, you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know what it's going to look like until you actually see the guy pitch in the majors. And the sample size is so incredibly small that I'm really not reading much at all into what we've seen so far. But it's interesting. I mean, and it definitely is something to monitor moving forward. I don't think Yamamoto is the lock, you know, as a top of the rotation type starter as maybe some people thought he would be.
Mookie Betts, he did win. Because, like I said, he won a car by being the first player in the series to hit a home run. I told Jesse this was a very unfair offer because it was the first player to hit a home run on opening day or opening week. And the Dodgers and the Padres had quite the advantage when it came to that. Yeah. This promotion actually was just for this series as part of MLB's sponsorship with Hyundai. But Mookie Betts did win, essentially, an Ioniq 5 electric vehicle for being the first player to hit a home run. He also got a fist bump from Ken Griffey Jr. So
can we just talk about
both of those things?
Can we just talk about how unnecessary it is
for
Mookie Betts,
for a man that makes $365 million,
he signed a $365 million extension with the Dodgers over 12 years.
Can I have the car?
Yeah, he should probably be giving this car to someone in need. One of us would be
No, Jesse has multiple cars. Don't he comes and picks me up in a different car every day. You guys know it. You have a million mailbag Monday questions about where is his real RAV4 and what happened to it. But of course, that's the way that the Dodgers continue to win even when they're losing. But it would be hilarious if next year, or this year, I should say, we do see the lineup of Mookie Betts over Otani, or actually Otani over Betts, because then it would just say Otani Betts. No, my jokes are terrible. But
can I say one thing real quick about the Otani situation that occurred to me last night?
I would love to hear it.
Yeah. So it just occurred to me last night, something we didn't touch on when we were talking about it yesterday, that for years we have been searching and searching for any little Otani nugget that we could find. People have been just desperate for Otani storylines for years now, right?
He's been very secretive and
he's
been very protective.
He's generally a very kind of mysterious person that you just don't really get many things to talk about. And anytime you do get a little tiny nugget like Otani getting married or Otani having a dog, it's an enormous story.
What's the dog's name? It's Decoy.
Yesterday, we got a story about Otani that involved $4.5 million being transferred from his bank account to an illegal gambling operation. And it just occurred to me how wild that is, that for years we've been searching for the tiniest little nuggets to just grasp onto and finally have some Otani related thing to really talk about. And yesterday,
it's a scandal gambling and him having money stolen from him.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about this entire situation. And as much as we want to make wild speculations about whether Otani has a Michael Jordan size gambling problem or whether we want to just say some of the things we've said, in all honesty, like, my gut feeling here is that Otani is exactly what we thought he always is, right? Like, I almost feel like he's not purposefully trying to be that way. It's just the way he is. He's kind of a innocent, fun-loving guy who seems very wholesome and maybe naive. You know, one of the things that kind of came up in regards to this story or as to why the story changed was the man who was being accused of stealing money from Otani is the same person who is his primary translator. So we have no idea what he was telling Otani sometimes, maybe in Japanese, versus what he was telling people in the same room in English, right? Because if there's that language barrier, he could literally be lying to these people about what he's telling Otani. And considering he's the person who we should lose trust in the most here, it's hard to consider 100% that he wasn't taking advantage over Otani by telling him in Japanese different things than what maybe people were trying to ask or tell Otani, right?
So that's your theory? Derek theory?
Here's the thing is that a friend of mine, Megaran, friend of the show, him and I were talking about it, and apparently this happens to Japanese tourists quite a bit when they come over. They rely on a translator, and that translator really, there's been situations at Comic-Cons and such where they really take advantage of those people, right? So with there being a language barrier and with the person who's the primary contact with Shohei in between anybody who has questions in English for him and Otani, then there is that you'll never be able to know if he was 100% honest on what he was translating to Otani. And I'm just saying that from the perspective of there's a lot of questions as to why this story changed and how things came to be. Let's not forget that those checks had loan written on them, and who knows what he told Otani that money was for. You know what I mean? Like, because of certain things there was a trust factor there. It's a friend. It's beyond, I think, just the fact that it's a translator. You trust a person you consider a friend to be extra beyond just the fact that they're a business relationship and somebody whose job is to translate for you, right? The Diamondbacks have a translator. He's not, well, he's probably friends with the player, Alex, right? But Alex is an employee of the team and he goes and translates for them. This is different because this was literally a man that followed Otani around everywhere, went everywhere with him and translated for interviews and when he went to places and made sure he got checked into stuff. So I don't know, man. I'll just say overall, all of this drama is good for the Diamondbacks because anything that can be a hurdle for a team that's as powerful as the Dodgers, or at least as powerful as they are on paper, is a good thing for us to keep up with that team, you know? And honestly, I'm not too sad about it, you know? Like, at this point, I'll take anything we can get.
I'm impressed that Otani went out and just played a baseball game. I know Dave Roberts was pressed before the start of that game early this morning about, like, is Otani going to play? Was there any consideration to him not playing? And, of course, the Dodgers weren't going to sit him over this whole situation. But he went 1-for-5. He did have an RBI and a run scored. So maybe not quite as good of an Otani game as we're used to seeing. But, yeah, he still went out there and did the thing.
Yeah. Well, credit to him. And again, hope this whole situation does nothing but bad things for the Dodgers. Anyway, we thank all of you, including you, Maria, the most, for being here on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, make sure to do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever our shows go live. Leave us a thumbs up. Gabby loves it when you do that. Of course, if you're listening on the audio podcasting side, make sure you subscribe over there as well. Leave us a review. We always appreciate those 5-star reviews and all of your feedback. Of course, BetMGM does help make sports better, especially when you use it responsibly. That's a key here. But if you do, and when I say that, like right now, I put on a great parlay, $5. That's all I bet. I'm going to maybe win $50 back if several legs hit, but we know that's not going to happen.
Can I tell a story real quick?
I would love it if you did.
Owen from our PHNX Rising show.
I remember this. Yes. This is a good story.
Is apparently a god tier US Open Cup better. Like I think that when US Open Cup happens, like this is a particular competition that happens in like American soccer.
Yeah.
He knows all the small teams. He put together a parlay. Unbelievable.
Did it hit?
Brother, it hit. I'm not gonna say how much money it was, but it was an eye-popping amount of money on a 96th minute winner. Absolutely unbelievable. I have one going today that I took from his advice that's still alive for also a lot of money.
Let's go. You should watch the PHNX Bet Show.
We need Owen on the PHNX Bet Show.
We do need Owen. Yeah, I don't know if he wants to give that information out for free. I think he needs to put that behind a paywall. But
Discord.
Yeah. For diehards only. But, of course, you can get down on the BetMGM Sportsbook app now using our code of PHNX. Deposit at least $10 into your newly created account. And if your bet loses, you will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. Of course, that will happen once your bet is official. If your bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. So sign up right now for BetMGM. Use bonus code PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile application for at least $10. You'll receive $1,500 in bonus bets back if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
You know, rumor has it that Owen and Ipe are pretty tight. Yeah. That's just a rumor. I heard that on the street.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. It really does. Of course,
if Owen were involved in this whole story, that would be the greatest
plot yesterday, twist. I'm starting to think that he might be.
You just never know. You just never know around here. But man. Of course, what we do know is Illegal Pete's is a great place to watch March Madness, which is happening today. It's Shane Diefenbach's favorite day of the entire year right now. And you can join us, of course, with the Bracket Challenge. I think that Bracket Challenge is over now. Do we still have the Bracket Challenge going on? You can't do it anymore. Well, I hope one of you wins, because if you should win, the top three finishes include diehard memberships, shirt and gift card to the PHNX Locker, and Illegal Pete's gift card. So good luck to all of you that entered. Of course, patio season right now It's beautiful outside, means patio beers and Illegal Pete's margaritas are the strongest in Arizona. So if you want to find Damon and you want to find some good food, head over to Illegal Pete's, especially the one in Tempe, for all that, and some piping hot queso and reverse nachos. Illegal Pete's is here to bring you the win with their legendary sound check deal. Bring in your ticket stub from a ticket from any ticketed event and get a draft beer or house margarita for 1 cent. 1 penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's a pregame or postgame party. They got you covered for all your game day needs. Must purchase an adult entree to redeem Illegal Pete's sound check deal. Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. And Damon. Well, boys, we got a lot of interesting stuff going on over at Chase Field today, by the way. It is the What's New at Chase Field event, and there was a lot of things we talked about. There were a lot of incredible food that we got to try.
Yes.
Brand new food.
We ate good today.
I'm going to literally probably talk for 15 minutes about the Korean pork belly nachos. But before then, we have the absolute most important thing in the whole wide world, which is a new sound system and new friggin' lights. We can't play the song because you know what the song is. If you want to see the whole video, go check it out on social. But Damon, if you would, can we roll that beautiful beam footage of Paul Sewald's entrance video? This gave me chills. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand how much I had to contain myself during this, right? They are playing House of Pain's Jump Around while the lights are changing colors and the sound system is pumping. And I was losing my mind internally. But externally, I had to be a professional member of the media. Jesse was very proud of me.
I was very proud of you.
He does. I did not scream.
Much restraint. Much restraint.
But holy shit.
Derek just screaming, jumping up and down.
Oh, I would have lost it. I would have lost it. I mean, I met the AZ foodie out there from Instagram, so I lost it. I fangirled enough about her. But this light show, not to mention that just when we went out there for this event, the first thing we noticed stepping onto the field was how bright the lights were. Right?
Yeah,
like the lights were so incredibly bright. But then this freaking video package and the fact that they can finally do all the things we wanted it to do. All of the color changing lights, all of the cool, you know, all this cool coordinated video for someone's entrances. It's everything we ever asked for.
I think it's especially important now because the Diamondbacks have a closer, which is something they haven't necessarily had in the past.
So we haven't deserved those lights.
When they have had a closer, it hasn't necessarily been one that you wanted to like really hype up on their way on the field. But Paul Sewald was very much that guy last year, right?
He came in
and even though it wasn't always pretty necessarily, he had a very high success rate in save opportunities, and he's going to be a big part of this team in 2024. And the Diamondbacks can now welcome him onto the field with the full-on, not just the music, but the lights show and everything as well. So, yeah, it looks very different. The stadium has a different feel to it for sure. As you said, it is noticeably brighter. I wanted my Shady Rays while I was walking around on the field.
Yeah, you did.
When they have it on the highest setting, those lights are pretty bright. But, yeah, they've got the color-changing capability. You see some red and some teal in there, which is pretty cool as well.
It was so incredible to see, but at the same time there are so many things that like when you get something new, it just really I guess highlights the stuff that's not working well, right? Like you sure. And I noticed that the screen did
Talking
not look
the screen,
the
yeah,
screen did
yeah.
not look great. I mean it's kind of like you can see this light show and you're like, cool, what's going on with the roof? They're like, yeah, that's not fixed yet, but look at these lights. And you're like, should we maybe have fixed the roof first? But Derek Hall did address the roof, actually. And it sounds like, the issue was a safety issue. It doesn't really sound, honestly, like the roof necessarily broke or changed over the years. It sounds like maybe due to the age, there's a safety concern that has been brought up. And thus, that's why they were no longer opening the roof while fans were in the stadium. However, Derek Hall did bring up that it sounds like there is a safety measure that they have that they can put in place that will allow them to once again open the roof as early as next season. The reason why it's not happening this offseason or this season is because they don't have enough time to install it, and it needs to be when the building is essentially completely empty for them to put this up. This is what Derek Hall had to say in regards to that roof.
So The group that came in and told us their concern, and it was like we'll get too technical, but basically where a rope could fall. we think that's highly unlikely, but there's a catch-all system now that we're able to put up there, so you don't have to redo the entire roof. And once we have that in place, and again, the labor and the time, you know, bringing in the cranes, we're probably going to have to make sure we do that when we're not in season. That's why we're now that we found this solution, we're looking at having it ready for next year, which that'll be the best. Then we can open and close during games. We can open it up on Friday nights, even a hot Friday night, to have our fireworks again. But the fireworks that we set are nights that we know the weather's going to cooperate. We can open it up ahead of time. We don't have to worry about it. Keep the roof open during the game and have our fireworks.
It's really interesting because I don't understand what this safety system really is, and obviously this goes above my own personal technical expertise of opening of roofs that open and close, right? But
that's
like it almost sounds like it's just going to be a giant like net or something.
Yeah,
like, I have no idea what it's going to be.
He described it as a catch-all system, so some kind of mechanism that would catch this cable as it's falling from the roof, I guess, is the idea. But you can understand why this would be a big development, because it allows the Diamondbacks to be able to open up the roof when people are in the building without having to overhaul the entire thing.
Right.
Which sounds very expensive. Yeah. And from what we've heard, it's something that they don't really want to do unless they know that they're staying at Chase Field long term. And we also talked about the air conditioning.
I think that sounds like the same
scenario there.
And I think it's a bigger issue than that. I think that there is still a like finger pointing at whose responsibility is, considering Maricopa County owns that building, right? Same thing with like what you were saying, you know, about the air conditioning system. There are plenty of things that are literally cosmetic. The sound system and lights they put up, I can understand you completely considering that cosmetic, even though Maricopa County absolutely has a vested interest in it based on those events and such that happen in that building that bring them revenue.
Well, the Diamondbacks get all the revenue.
Well,
from those events now.
Now they do, right?
Yeah.
Based on the
on the agreement from a few years ago. There's a lot of things that I think changed ways then. But the Diamondbacks are the ones getting all the revenue.
And that's almost
from those
where
events.
That agreement is where Maricopa County took a step back as far as their involvement with the maintenance of the building, even though at the end of the day they're still the owners of the building.
Yeah.
You know,
Lee says, wait, they aren't fixing the AC until next year. Yeah,
we don't even have a confirmation if it's next year, to be honest. Right?
The AC is not really broken. I wouldn't say it's just kind of a funky system where apparently it's shared. It's like an underground cooling system that's shared with a lot of downtown buildings. And the Diamondbacks would like to have
a building back behind Chase Field. Like it's a facility almost. Right. That does. It provides AC, I think, to several car garages and several facilities. I don't think it goes down to like Footprint Center and stuff, but I think it's like where the tacos are across the street from Chase Field and Guy Fieri's and all that. I think that's all like linked under the same system, right? But again, that's part of it, is that, you know, the bigger thing is about them staying here in the building and getting that agreement done.
Right.
And that was brought up several times today. Several people asked Eric Hall, like, you guys do this lights, you do this thing, you do this. It sounds like all signs are pointing to you staying in this building. And as much as they would like to say yes, and as much as he said they're going to continue to refurbish that building, regardless of if they have a deal in place or not, you can understand why it's hard for them to invest millions and millions and millions of more dollars into that building if they are still unsure if they're going to stay there, right? But it still feels like everything is pointing to that.
Yeah, I think the AC system could be better. It's not like it's not functional, but it could be better. And yeah, Derek Hall talked about them being quoted, I think it was north of $250 million a while back when they were looking at all of the things that needed to be done to the stadium. Yeah. So it's not a cheap thing, and you can understand them wanting to have some assurance on their future home before they go in and do that.
Well, and they also want the buy-in from Maricopa County as well, right? Like,
yeah, they're looking for a public-private partnership to help fund this thing, like we've seen with several other teams in recent years, and it has not come to fruition. And as we talked about a month or so ago, when Ken Kendrick and Derek spoke, they made some comments about, you know, potentially leaving Arizona if things don't resolve, which we certainly expect them to resolve.
You're
gonna
get people mad again.
Those are the things that were said, Derek. Yeah. Those are not my words, but they're still looking for that resolution, and hopefully for all of us that comes soon.
We also had Derek Hall talking about the TV situation. I know that we had discussed at times that the Diamondbacks might be looking into an OTA over-the-air option. That might have been locally, like what we've seen with the Suns and the Coyotes and such.
Yeah.
But according to Hall, there was no agreement for that in place for this year. The big question, where are we going to watch our Diamondbacks? You know, if you're watching on TV, if you're watching on cable, this is what Derek Hall had to say in regards to that.
So it's going to be the same as last year when we moved over to MLB. They had focused on the MLB streaming, which is at dbacks.tv, and that is a way to do it at a, you know, we think a very affordable cost for the package. However, we're still going to have cable and satellite locations. We just don't know what those channels are yet because MLB is still negotiating with the distributors. And I think those negotiations could go up to opening day. As soon as we know what the channels are on Cox, on DirecTV, on all the distributors, we're going to let everybody know. So that shouldn't change. The channels may change,
right.
but that will not change the distribution.
Over the air is that's not something you're expecting to do immediately.
Right. We looked at it. Yeah, that was one of the options we looked at this year, and we ended up staying with MLB just because shorter runway. We liked the fact that last year they were there to pick up for us, seamless transition. The quality of the production is real strong, and was the feedback we got from fans was how favorable it was. But we looked heavily into over the air, and we looked at Gray TV, we looked at Scripps, and came close. And it's not something that we're ruling out for the future. We like that as an option for sure.
If you see that camera shaking, it's because Baxter was hugging me while I was filming, that absolute maniac. But of course, you know, right now I'll say that when I watched the game the other night, it was on 689 on DirecTV. So it was close to where they used to be. I know they had like the 686-1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of gone away. So when he's talking about them finding a new channel on the providers, I think that's what he's talking about. I mean, freaking DirecTV has a billion channels that they could just throw you on any one of them. That's fine. But it's an interesting thing there in regards to the over the air stuff. And like we said before, we know that they don't have stuff listed on their website yet, specifically because they don't know what those channel numbers are going to be.
Yeah.
But from what we have been told, it was going to be business as usual like it was last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe there's an option in the future to do over the air in conjunction with this the streaming deal with Major League Baseball. Maybe that's something that we see eventually. But yeah, for people hoping for over the air immediately for the 2024 season, that is not going to happen.
But if you have whatever package you had when you had them before on cable or DirecTV or whatever,
yeah,
you will still have them this year.
You don't have to get the online streaming package.
Correct. Yes. I had to remind my in-laws of that. I also had to go cancel their membership for them on their behalf.
Everyone take care of your in-laws. Signed up.
My God. Right. And they make it so easy. It's like around Amazon. They can just write through their Prime account, just add D-backs TV to it, and I'll pay $100-some-odd. So that's available everywhere. So make sure, keep an eye on your in-laws and your older people. I swear to God, Jesse, I thought I had this, I don't know, I thought I had maybe a seizure. I thought I had some sort of like episode because I swear Derek Hall said that we are going to get a purple and teal City Connect jersey. Were those words not said? Am I crazy that those words were said?
He did not guarantee it, but he said something on the lines of maybe you'll see a purple and teal jersey show up as a City Connect. Something along those lines. For D-backs fans really wanting the purple, obviously we're getting some teal back this season. That's becoming a pretty important color in the color scheme. But for people really wanting the purple, it does sound like the next City
we
Connect
back.
will feature some purple.
We back. That would have to be after this year because the Serpientis jersey contract runs through this season. So this is the last year of the Serpientis jerseys. By the way, MLB The Show has these incredible Serpientis helmets that go with the Serpientis jerseys that don't actually exist. And that pisses me off. They're the same color as like the jersey, and it looks incredible in the video game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would look in real life.
Probably not great, but
I like black in real life, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little much.
Purple and teal. Yes. Purple and teal City Connect jerseys. And of course, I know that gets people hyped because the people cannot wait to get out to Chase Field, Jesse. According to Derek Hall, They have already sold way more season tickets than they ever have. We know that they have that incredible ballpark pass, which is going to get people out. And Hall said they are projecting to be over 2.5 million in attendance this year. They haven't done that since 2008. Yeah. And then the last time that they were over 2.52 million, back in those good old days of 2003, when Jerry Colangelo knew what the hell he was doing with this team.
That was a very long time ago. Yeah, I don't know if he said that they've sold more season tickets than ever, but he did say that this is the biggest bump in season ticket sales since he talked about the 2007 to 2008 bump when the Diamondbacks made it all the way to the NLCS, that being maybe comparable. The biggest jump there, I think, was 2001 to 2002. No huge surprise there. But yeah, there clearly has been a big response to what the Diamondbacks did last season. And that 2.5 million figure, those are just projected numbers. But 2.5 million is a pretty big jump. The D-backs were around 1.9 million last year. So 2.5 is a very big jump. That would be averaging more than 30,000 fans per game at Chase Field.
Correct.
Last year, they were somewhere in the mid-20s. So yeah, I mean, that would be really great for the Diamondbacks. So you get back averaging above 30,000, that place is going to feel a lot less empty than it did this past year.
And there's good reasons for it, because they are implementing, of course, some amazing food, some amazing giveaway items, and like a brand new protocol for the Rallybacks. Can we get the Rallybacks up on screen? Because the Rallybacks not only have some amazing new jerseys themselves there that are the new Diamondbacks home jerseys with some bedazzled looks there. The ladies looked incredible. We saw the patch. And then we were informed that the Rallybacks are going to have a bigger role this year. What role, you ask? Well, one of these ladies is going to be the DH when Jock Peterson isn't. No, I'm just joking about that. No, actually, with the Rallybacks.
Wait, she's going to be the DH when Jock Peterson is in?
When he isn't. When he's out of the lineup. You know what I mean?
So if Randall Grichuk is
the platoon with Jock Peterson.
If Grichuk is on the IL, you're going to need a right-handed platoon partner.
Correct. They're all right-handed. Every single one of them.
Okay, got it.
But they're also going to lead the crowd in, I guess, like, you know, the proper ways to be fans. And you know what that means. It means ridiculing the opposing pitcher and catcher when they come out to take the mound. There's certain cheering at certain times that they need to do. Like, the Rallybacks are going to be leading the charge. We were told they're going to have, like, a more vocal role in leading the crowd. You know, and I think, honestly, from the perspective of seeing, you know, some of the audiences that we see at other ballparks, I'm all for this. Right?
I think we can be real about the fact that Diamondbacks fans do not necessarily show out on a day in, day out basis at Chase Field in terms of being like really engaged in every moment of the game. Right.
I made the joke there about Jerry Colangelo, but in essence, like, that is the way that the original people that own this team thought that the fan base here would be. Not like this crazy, you know, fanatical fan base, just more people that were out to have a good night and enjoy a night out at the ballpark, right? And like, that's when Jerry Colangelo was like, ha, you wake up from your little fairy tale, right? But still, there is a certain amount of that here, right? And it's not to say that, of course, everybody that goes to the ballpark isn't a Diamondbacks fan, but people are fans of baseball. So the thought is to just make a place where people can come enjoy baseball, and people do that. But now we want more. The players want more. Well, you know, the fan base wants more. We got guys like Brett Lee Johnson out there trying to get the, you see, he says, I try to do that. And I knew it. I didn't even need to see that comment. I knew Brett Lee Johnson was here in the chat, and I knew he was going to say something, because this man is an absolute king when it comes to trying to lead the charge of fans. And at times, he is the kind of fan that almost kind of gets singled out because he's the only one screaming, when in fact we should all be standing up in unity with this man and screaming at the top of our lungs, much like he is. We don't all have the same capacity for sound that he does. But
I think what the Rallybacks, more than anything else, is people are saying in the chat, if they can just stop people from doing the wave,
please.
I mean, that is all that many people have been hoping for a long time.
You're gonna strain your leg. We're on our knees. You're gonna strain your leg. You're gonna have to have what was the surgery where he had to have bones removed from his shoulder or whatever?
the thoracic outlet
surgery, because you're throwing your goddamn arms up in the air. We are trying to help you out. We are trying to help you not do that. But yes, that's Absolutely correct. And there's going to be an engagement team or something. They're going to be throwing shirts out and stuff. Yeah. So the rally backs, I mean, it's the I think it's almost more of the conventional cheerleader where they are going to lead the cheer. And I'm not saying that like a derogatory term. I'm saying that the term itself, cheerleader, is a person who leads the cheers of the fans. And like, yeah. I think that's the kind of direction that they're going with it, because the rally backs up to this point kind of have just been the, they toss out the free t-shirts, they come out, they do the games in between innings, they dance sometimes and stuff, but they're not exactly at, you know, the ones directing the fans to, you know, do certain cheers and such a time. So I'm down for this. I'm down for banning the wave. I'm also down for banning Cogs. So yes, I'll test all of that. But not only am I excited about that, I'm excited about the giveaway items. The giveaway items this year are incredible. There's a little difference. We saw the items that are like ticketed giveaway items. They have some cool ones of those. Damon, if you don't mind putting the pickleball racket up there. There's going to be certain nights like these nights with the D-backs pickleball ticket pack, which that, for those of you that aren't pickleball heads like myself, the Volaire is a very nice racket. This is a very, like, I want the pickleball racket more than I want anything else I saw here today. But maybe these two items together in combination.
I didn't want to talk about it, so we could just like kind of keep it a secret.
Yeah, you're probably right. I should probably shut up and not promote that. But of course, there's the love for Puerto Rico, and there was all sorts of heritage nights. There was Italian Heritage Night and German Heritage Night, Canadian Heritage Night,
Irish
Heritage Night. Yeah. So these are all like the tickets. You have to buy a special ticket, and it gives you a little bit more, or gives you an item to go along with it. They're a little bit more expensive, but you get some cool items. Then we have the giveaway items. Here are the bobbleheads. That Gabby bobblehead is so sick in person. I couldn't get close enough to it to really illustrate how great this one is. But they got the Corbin Carroll swing right on both of these. And the things I love about these bobbleheads is the attention to detail when it comes to like everything about them. Their exact mechanics. Like, that literally looks like Gabby throwing the ball. I've seen that man recently out at spring training ballpark throw that ball a lot from behind the plate, and that's like a perfect recreation of it. And same thing with Corbin's swing.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And as the Corbin one has the rookie of the year behind him. I'm told there's also the Ketel Marte one, which we didn't see out there, but there's a Ketel Marte bobblehead as well that was not on display. What else we got, Damon? We also got some other giveaway items. This fucking shirt. Get out of here with this shirt in person. It goes so incredibly hard, Jesse. Like, this shouldn't be a giveaway item. I agree with what Saul said. This should be sold in the store, but...
Yeah, that's people would absolutely buy it if
yeah,
it was sold in the
right.
store.
Like, yeah, right. Like, I mean, I know a lot of giveaway items are fairly clean, and they do a good job of course, making sure that, especially lately, they don't have the big kind of tacky sponsor, you know, thing on the shoulder or whatever, sure. Right? Like, sometimes that makes the shirts and the hats a little bit unwearable, but this one is just incredible. There, of course, to go with Alec Thomas is Mexican Heritage Night. Here's the replica alt jersey, which still kind of baffles me. I don't know why they always have to change the jersey like they did with the Serpientes jersey, even though I did like the black one and it went kind of hard. Like, I wanted to see them fit the word Diamondbacks on this damn jersey, and they didn't do it. But that Father's Day polo shirt might be, again, another one of my favorite items, because it is very classy, very, very much up my alley as far as printed material.
What kind of material is that?
It's kind of like, yeah, like the little stretchy. Yeah, like
oh,
the little
really?
Stretchy. Mm. Yeah. It's nice.
I might
it's
have to
nice.
Get involved in that.
Yeah, yeah. That might be something worth making it out to the ballpark on Father's Day for 100%.
That shirt is very much right up your alley, Derek.
It is.
Fits
it's
your just I mean, a, look, it's at the, look at the shirt you're wearing, right now. Like, it
I
just...
had AZ Foodie compliment me on this shirt. And that, like, my day has been made. I met a real celebrity. Forget baseball players and such. I met a local food celebrity. But speaking of the food, Jesse, that's why she was out there. David, let's see that beautiful food footage. Jesse and I ate all of this. We ate all of it, every bit of it. Those smash burgers, these are the Korean freaking pork belly nachos that were out of the world. Chicken sandwiches, they had everything out, all their new food, so much good stuff. And of course, I mean, that was one of the big things that they talked about today. The new additions to Chase Field involve those smash burgers, which will be at a new location called Bat Flip Burgers. They'll have a classic smash burger and a green chili queso smash burger, which we tried and was absolutely fucking elite. All of the desserts are getting their own home, Jesse. There's going to be a brand new churro dog not, I don't know, I'm not on a stand because you think of that as being the kiosk on the other side, like where it was. No, it's right there. It's to right when you walk into the main door, right to the right. It's next to Taste of Chase, and it is dedicated to desserts. What are they going to have there? It's going to be the home of the churro dog. It's going to be where you can get the apple pie empanadas that they had during the World Series last night. Or no, chimichanga.
Chimichanga,
yeah. Apple pie chimichanga, excuse me. They're going to have a churro sundae parfait available there.
What would an apple pie empanada be?
I mean, the same thing.
That's a fun idea.
It's just inside. It's basically what the apple pies you get from Circle K are, Jesse.
Right.
The apple pie. This is a apple pie burrito with cinnamon sugar caramel, frozen vanilla yogurt, whipped cream, and Cracker Jacks on top. Cracker Jacks! Go get it right now. I want it right now.
You can't get it right now. Yeah, you're right. It's not possible.
Taste of Chase, they're bringing back the Millionaire Steak Sandwich, which was delicious today. That debuted during the World Series. They also had the extra long, foot long Sonoran style dog, which the Sonoran style dog is the official hot dog of Chase Field. Them's the rules. I don't make them. Sorry, churro dog. You get beat out by the Sonoran dog. But the most incredible goddamn thing that they had was the Korean pork belly nachos.
Derek wanted to do a whole segment on.
I hugged the chef because of them. I hugged Chef Stephen Tilden, who I love, and he was an absolute genius when it comes to making food. The man didn't sleep this offseason. He didn't sleep. He spent the entire short offseason just manufacturing new monster creations of nachos, and this one is an absolute fucking hit. Pork belly, some sort of spicy cheese sauce over wonton chips with pickled onions and all sorts of other. What else does he have in here? Pork belly bacon, wonton chips, gochujang spiked cheese sauce, quick kimchi, pickled red onions, and scallions. God, it was good. I couldn't stop eating it. It was so ridiculous.
Jesus, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need you to relax. You're fired up
all the time. This gets to be our food. Like, I'm so excited. It's exactly what we asked for. I mean, I asked for Panda Express, but this is fine. Many of these items are better than Panda Express. One thing I brought up is that they are going to have, like, they have pickles from a particular local pickle place, and they're gonna have deep fried spicy pickles at Gonzo's stand. They also have like a little Gonzo box now with his face on it, which that's just fun. And you can get spicy chicken tenders now over there at Gonzo's food stand. It's gonna be amazing.
You think how much influence do you think Gonzo has over what's at his dining location?
I would demand that like everything be brought to me, and I get to try each thing and give it my seal of approval.
If you were Gonzo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to think I'm going to slap my name on something and just not think it's the best thing ever. This man has integrity, Jesse. This man let me cut line in front of him at Dutch Bros. He's a hero and a scholar, okay?
He's a hero not because of the 2001 thing.
Oh,
he's a hero because he let you cut in line.
I need to talk about the fucking the nachos again. Nicholas, yes, the wonton chips are the most amazing thing ever. They might be the best part of it. I can't even tell you, like, in words,
why would you
how
do
good
that?
It is. I just, why?
Why would you get him started again?
Oh my God, I can't even tell you. There's a lot of good stuff.
Poor Jesse, man. You're putting Jesse in danger when you bring up the wonton chips.
I'm just saying, I need all of this stuff right now. Like, the best part of it is that it's just this variety, right? And I mean, he even covered the fact that when you go to a ballpark or when you see ballpark reviews or food choices or what they sell the most of, it's always the same shit. Hot dogs, popcorn, you know, nachos. It's going to be the same stuff because when people go to the ballpark, especially those people that only go once or twice a year, they're going to get the thing that you get when you go to a ballpark. But season ticket holders and those of us that literally live there for 81 games, we need something else. And God bless this man for bringing us such an amazing, you know, variety of food that
he did it for the media, Derek.
Oh, he did it for us. He did it for you. Me and him are like this. You guys got to check on YouTube. We'll have a video up where I interviewed Chef Tilden. And of course, you'll see when I hugged him for the Korean nachos because he deserved it.
He deserved it. The man's been through a lot, yes.
God damn it. And he has had a rough offseason, which was not long enough. And he was literally lost sleep over creating these tiny treasures for us to all enjoy. So get out to the ballpark this season and make sure you eat all of that stuff. We got anything else?
Are you done?
I don't know. What else? You got anything else? What do you got?
I think that.
Do we got any videos or anything I didn't cover? Are we good?
I think that's everything. Yeah.
All right. So back to these nachos. Holy shit. I just wanted to make sure we got everything out of the way first. Of course, these updates are brought to you by our friends over at Factor Meal Kits. Head to factormeals.com/PHNXDBAX50 and use code PHNXDBAX50 to get 50% off. And you can have some wonderful food in your life as well that's ready to go whenever you want it. They have incredible meals that are all planned out for you. So check out Factor right now because I love me some Factor. Of course, another fun place to head out to and enjoy some food at is Gila River Resorts, because no one does it better. They offer an authentic and immersive experience. Not only are they all about the fun, the gaming, we've told you about the pina coladas, poolside, all of that, but they have some incredible dining options ranging from upscale to approachable. You can check out the rooftop restaurant, Prime A Shula's Steakhouse, or grab a cocktail and a quick bite by the pool. If you've got an adventurous palate, check out Honey and Vine, the featured dining experience at the all-new Santan Mountain. So you do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com. for more details. Of course, speaking of getting out there and having a good time here in the Valley, Arizona Lottery is all about their new promotion called Arizona Adventure. And there are three ways to play and win big with this game. Of course, you can buy the new Arizona Adventure Lottery tickets featuring three iconic landscapes. You can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state from Flagstaff to Yuma. Or you can enter tickets online for a chance to win up to $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Arizona Lottery says proceeds from ticket sales supports environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. They are not just about playing games and winning prizes. Arizona Lottery is also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure and for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Okay, well, we do have a weird update. And ironically, it's from a website called bookies.com, which, given the current climate of MLB, you can't help but laugh at that. But according to bookies.com, they took in the overall cost of four people attending a baseball game, a family of four, if you will. I imagine in this scenario, based on the cost, things they chose, it's two adults and two children. The overall cost took into account the four cheapest tickets for each baseball stadium, parking lot fees, two 16-ounce beers, two 20-ounce sodas, and four hot dogs. That's all that's being included in this total. And they listed what teams were in order. And surprisingly enough, based on their calculations, the Arizona Diamondbacks were not at the bottom any longer. And I know for years the Diamondbacks have always been close to, if not the absolute lowest cost per person per game. And we don't know how accurate some of this is. A lot of the fees that they have in here, when you look at their list on bookies.com, are actually relatively cheap. And it's not like the Diamondbacks are like, as far as cost-wise, are like head and shoulders above other teams. We're talking about a few dollars here or there that separates, you know, them, like literally a dollar separates them and the Baltimore Orioles. And then, you know, a $2 separates them and the St. Louis Cardinals and such. So if you kind of check it out on bookies.com, you'll see exactly what they have going for them. But they currently list the Diamondbacks as being 12th in Major League Baseball as far as the cost for four people to attend a game, which is up considerably from where they were on this same list last year. In 2023, they were 24th. On this same list, which again isn't the bottom of the league, but it's down there. And when you're talking about separating things by a dollar or two, it really comes down to, I think, maybe how they factored in parking and such. Like, they say $25 here for parking.
I was gonna say
I've never seen $25 unless it was like a big game or like a playoff game or something. Usually it's $20 or lower. As a matter of fact, most lots right behind the ballpark you can park for as low as $5 on a regular season day during the week. So I don't know how accurate this list is, because again, some of the things here, everything seems fairly cheap still for the Diamondbacks, and they are below league average as far as this is concerned, but
not by much. The MLB average they have is $180.54, and they have the D-backs at $170.25, so just a little bit, about $10 below average for I guess, is a family of four. I have some questions for sure. The parking lot of $25, that stood out as something Pretty confident you could find parking for less than $25. They did mention that believe the D-backs had $2 hot dogs. Now those are $3, yeah, according to this. So that is a notable change. They have 2 16-ounce beers at $11.25. Does that seem accurate to you?
Yeah, because they have the small beers. So this is basically saying,
like the value.
The value beers over there, which I don't even know if those are 16-ounce beers, but I think they might be giving them credit for those beers just being the cheapest beers in the ballpark. Usually you can't find a beer that's smaller than a 16-ounce beer, but those value beers are definitely less than 16 ounces.
Their method for the ticket pricing is interesting. They say they took the lowest available tickets, four of them, for home games for the 15th of each month or the nearest available date and averaged them out. So they looked at the 15th of each month of the season and found the lowest, the cheapest ticket for a home game, and then averaged them all together, which doesn't seem like a super scientific way of doing this.
I get what they're trying to do for going off a report from
bookies.com.
I mean, they're never going to be on the up and up, right? Because they're bookies and that's what they do. But
right, exactly.
I will say that, of course, I think the only thing that surprised me there was obviously whatever method they're using is the same method they used for last year. And for the Diamondbacks to be the biggest jump makes sense considering their luck, or not luck. I can't believe I said that. Considering their incredible success that they all earned themselves last year. But you know what I mean? Like the franchises, you know, the fortunate position they find themselves in, that the Diamondbacks went as far as they did last year. And now they are benefited that ability to increase prices slightly, right? And I mean, if you're being honest, when you look at the top of this list, the number one team with the most expensive average is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they've had to increase their costs because they weren't number one always.
They've got to pay for Yamamoto. They got five runs in the first inning, right?
They got to find a new interpreter now. They have a lot of this stuff they have to do. They need as much revenue as they can get. But I think that it makes sense. Again, it's still just interesting considering the Diamondbacks do pride themselves, right, in the past on being an inexpensive experience for a family of four. And it's not to say they still aren't, but I mean, they've been doing that for years. Is it working? I mean, is the ballpark packed with people because they make it so cheap for you to come? I'd say no. So now they're kind of pivoting and they're trying to do other things, like installing that section last year that they said the Commonwealth section is sold out for 2024. Those are the rolly chairs. And I told you guys, people love rolly chairs. You put rolly chairs in there, people are going to sell that shit out. And Derek listened to me, and now look at what they got going on.
I think they should do rolly chairs everywhere.
Everywhere. Every seat should be a rolly chair. There is no better way to watch an event than in a rolly chair.
All the poor like custodians at the end of the day have to like arrange them in the rows.
No, more importantly, they have to pick the crap out of the wheels in order for them to keep being rolly chairs, because that they're going to pick up a lot of trash rolling around out there. But
they have... So they have $112 is the price for four tickets. So I guess that averages out to $28 a ticket. That's what they're saying the cheapest seat is at Chase Field, which again, they selected kind of a pretty random assortment of games in order to calculate this. But that doesn't seem too far off to me. Like if that was the average cheapest seat,
you're going to get season ticket for cheaper, right? Like, and you're going to be able to buy them from a season ticket holder for cheaper and maybe scalpers and such. But
and they have the $299 thing, which...
Right. If you factored that in, they by far would be the lowest cost. And I bet at the end of the day, as far as options go, the Diamondbacks are still the lowest priced option, especially with that ballpark pass. So, I don't think that this is like the worst thing, but I also think that when you make it to the World Series,
I'm sure there are
some increases in costs that come along with that. And it's understandable because they are going to get more people coming out in 2024. So they just need the product on the field to stay at the level that it was, so that it's worthy of all of these changes, of the prices increasing, of fans coming out the way it is, right? So there's a lot of standards. I don't know how to say expectations anymore. I can't use expectations. So standards, there's new standards that we have to live up to. I don't know. But of course, it's true, because it's not just for the players and for Torrey, but there's new standards for fans. Fans expect a winning product out there. And that's something that they have to maintain if they want to keep this increase in fans coming out, up. I hate to say it, but we are a town that has lots of shit to do. And if you're not a winner, it's easy for people to ignore 81 home games you know, pretty quickly if the team isn't successful. So
yeah,
that needs to be the most important thing that will drive fans to the stadium. All of this other stuff, though, including the goddamn Korean pork belly nachos, which every single one of you needs to try. These are just icing on the cake.
But I thought they were good, but I mean,
get out
those bao just buns. Get out. I missed the bao buns. Get Derek. Out. I haven't had the bao buns.
Stop attacking Jesse. Korean nachos, Derek.
No. There's no versus dog on this menu, by the way. We would like to point that out.
That is interesting.
We didn't try a versus dog either. Everything was a Sonoran dog.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're going away.
But last year, though, they had a lot of the weirder ones that they were going to have, like the pierogies dog when the Pirates came to town and stuff like that. Maybe they got rid of the goddamn versus dog. That sends another message as well, just like having the ring night on the night that the Phillies are coming, which Derek Hall had himself a good laugh at during his media availability about that. So good for
him.
I don't know for sure. Cogs says no versus dog. I'd hate to lose those. Well, deal with it, Cogs. We're already banning you from the chat, so I don't know why you're even still allowed to have an opinion at this point. But we do love you. We thank you guys all for being here, even Cogs. We thank you guys for being diehards. If you're not a diehard already, what are you waiting for? Join the family. Sign up. It pays for itself with discounts to events and discounts with our partners. You also get that free t-shirt from phnxlocker.com. All of our content, including a diehard only mailbag, which we will be bringing you tonight. I think we're going to maybe get that diehard mailbag going tonight. So make sure you formulate some questions and get us to them in the Discord, which is the best place to be an Arizona sports fan. If you haven't signed up yet, do so right now over at gophnx.com. Of course, we are the Chicken Tendy Gang, and that's how we identify in the Discord chat. Of course, a great place to get your chicken tendies, as everyone in the Chicken Tendy Gang knows, is at Four Peaks. Four Peaks aren't the same. Sports themselves are not the same without Four Peaks in hand. I'm actually just dying of thirst right now, thinking about it and talking about it. It's like a Pavlovian response. But right now, go out and try Four Peaks' brand new beer, Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale. It's a collab with Four Peaks and our friends at Bad Birdie. Super drinkable, perfect for the golf course, perfect companion at the tee box or in your fridge. So try it out now. Visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brew at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks. And please drink responsibly. Great place to buy the Four Peaks, of course, is at Circle K. Circle K is America's thirst stop, so whether you need beer or a soda from their ice-cold fountain drinks, stop by Circle K. If you sign up for their Inner Circle program right now for free, you will get a bevy of coupons and exciting offers, including saving 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups and saving 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. You'll get buy five, get a 6-1 free on a selection of Circle K products like pizza, coffee, and ice cold fountain drinks. So join the Inner Circle for free right now by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply. Participating locations, visit CircleK.com for details. And of course, last but not least, make sure if you want to attend some of these wonderful baseball games that start very soon, we are talking about 1 week away from opening day, go out there and check out our friends at Game Time. Game Time, it's an aesthetically pleasing app, and it'll save you a ton of money. It is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. It is the place for last minute ticket deals. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. There are only a handful of spring training games left, but you can get those tickets through Game Time as well. So no matter where you are here in the Valley, make sure you check out Game Time, not only for sporting events, but for concerts, shows, and everything you get FOMO for, get your tickets at Game Time.
Is it weird that I'm like kind of sad for spring training to end? Like, I am excited for real baseball games and
it's, you know, because your life completely changes.
It does.
Your life completely changes. It's not, baseball doesn't go away. It's just different now for you, right?
It's like having a kid. It's because I love Salt River Fields so much.
Right.
And I just want to be at Salt River Fields.
It's like having a little baby, right? It's like having a little baby. Like that baby in a year, it's going to be a little different thing. It's going to be walking and talking and maybe making sounds, but it's not a different baby, Jesse.
When,
it's still
so
the same
you're
baby
saying
you
when
love.
Salt River Fields grows up, it becomes Chase Field?
Yeah.
That's really sad. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
It's not really as cute. It's kind of annoying.
It's not nearly as cute.
It's loud, you know, all sorts of stuff. But But no, Salt River Fields is not a place you want to be in July. So that's the thing. Go spend one July at a baseball game at Salt River Fields and then come talk to me about wanting baseball out there. Right? Of course, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel so much. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. We will keep this party going. We'll be back tomorrow with a 6 p.m. show. But until then, you can follow us. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, the people's producer, Damon, is at Damon Dog. That's D-A-W-G. We are Damon's Dogs. Bark, bark. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for your time. We appreciate you stopping by. We will see you tomorrow. And in the meantime, have a great night. Again, thank you for your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you get the goddamn Korean pork belly nachos. Go eat them now.